So perhaps some of the most difficult readings, most difficult teaching put before us this morning, this notion of forgiveness and the added weight of the contingency, where unless we forgive those who have offended us, God will not forgive us. Each time we pray the Our Father, we are in essence giving God permission to treat us the same way that we treat our brothers and sisters. We pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespassed against us. It's a pretty heavy weight. The book of Sirach, our first reading, written a couple of hundred years before the birth of Jesus, and it once was referred to as the book of the church. Before Christ, it gives us pretty much a complete catechism which sheds light on Christ and which Christ sheds light on. But it's a beautiful teaching on the moral life that we're called to live. It is one of those books that Martin Luther and the Protestants took out of their translation. But it was a favorite book of the early church and the church fathers. And the passage that we have this morning, it's powerful. Wrath and anger are hateful things, yet the sinner hugs them tight. It's kind of a not good image if we think about that. But when we think about it, we realize it's been a reality for most of us. That we cling to our past hurts and our desire for revenge and retribution. That we're really good at keeping score and keeping tallies of who has offended me and how can I pay them back and how much of my love can I withhold. How often do married couples go through this? Keeping score, weaponizing their love, driving a wedge between their hearts. This parable that Jesus tells, the first servant owed a huge amount. He owed 10,000 talents. A talent was, I don't know, 1,000 denarius or whatever it was. Units of measure, units of counting that we don't use anymore. But it was a system of counting money and daily wages. So he owed a huge amount. He owed a couple of 100,000 years worth of wages. And he begged, let me go and I'll pay you back. I mean, just the foolishness of that request. An impossible debt to pay. But yet, simply because he asked with humility, the king granted his request. His fellow servant, who owed him probably the equivalent of 3 months' worth of work, made the exact same request, begging for mercy, and yet he refused. How often do we do the same? How often do we go to confession, celebrate that great sacrament of God's mercy, and yet so quickly turn and withhold that same mercy to those who have hurt us? Whether it was a person who took your spot or took your seat this morning, the clerk who was mean to you at the store, the priest who said the wrong thing to you or made the wrong decision that you didn't agree with, maybe it was your mother-in-law 50 years ago, We feel entitled to hug tightly to these offenses against us. We feel entitled to be mean, to hold on to that anger and that wrath, to seek revenge. The vengeful will suffer the Lord's vengeance, for he remembers their sins in detail. You know, we can lie to ourselves. We can go to confession and say, well, I'm not that bad. I haven't done anything too bad. I didn't say my prayers one time. The Lord remembers our sins in detail. Forgive your neighbor's injustice. Then when you pray, your sins will be forgiven. Forgive your sin, your neighbor's injustice, then your sins will be forgiven. Could anyone nourish anger and expect healing from the Lord? Can anyone refuse mercy but still seek pardon? This great contingency, this hinge on our response, the absolute necessity of us offering forgiveness and mercy. And when we do this, we have to do this because we've been hurt. We don't forgive because it was no big deal. I'll get over it. Oftentimes, those things we cling to, the vengeful we hug to, were serious offenses. And that in some way we're right to seek justice. So we're not excusing the behavior and saying it didn't count. What we're doing is asking ourselves to be set free. Because when we withhold forgiveness, we put ourselves in a prison. I'm sure we know people of all ages who hold on to past hurts. They're usually not good people to be around. They gossip, they complain, they're bitter. The wickedness in their heart spills over to everything that they do. It's because they've placed themselves in a prison. Even though they hold the key to freedom, they refuse. They refuse to open the door to their own prison. And this is what the Lord's inviting us into today. So if you were squirming in your seat when you heard these readings, realizing that you're part of this group that we don't like to forgive, that we feel entitled to hold on to our past hurts, who is it that you need to forgive? Who are you withholding God's mercy from? The Lord wants to set you free. And in fact, in your baptism, he did. The story of the Old Testament and the story of our lives is one of being set free and then us going back into prison. That we prefer the comfort, the convenience of our slavery than the uncharted territories of freedom in the Spirit. But we've been baptized into Christ Jesus, and whether we live or we die, we are part of Jesus. We are members of his body. And we have no right to act differently than he does. We have no right to withhold the mercy that he freely bestowed upon us. And this is why it's necessary for the crucifix to be a central part of our faith, and why it's necessary and the church asks for it to be part of the sanctuary. It's why we, not just during Lent, but always should be praying the Stations of the Cross and reading the Passion accounts in the Gospel to remind us of this free gift of mercy, of setting us free from a debt that we could never repay. One mortal sin placed us in debt to God that we could never repay. One mortal sin. We can never repay it were it not for the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We need to be reminded of that. Not because it's fun to preach about sin, not that it's fun to think about our sin, but it's the only way to freedom. When Jesus was dying on the cross, he prayed to God the Father and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Oftentimes, most times, the pain that we cling to is too big for us to forgive on our own. And we need to echo those words of Jesus. Because forgiveness can't and doesn't change the past. But it can change your future. As you live in the freedom of the Spirit, the freedom as a son and daughter of God the Father. So who do you need to forgive? Who are you carrying around in your heart in that prison? You hold the key to freedom. Simply echo the words of Jesus. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."